As always, when Joe Ovius is out, all of these questions in Hey Joe are real and submitted by actual people. So let's get to it. Joe cracked the dawn.
All righty, Julio. First up in Hey Joe from Dean Williams. Thanks for tweeting in. Hey Joe, are Carolina fans the angriest in the triangle?
They are. They are. We saw this earlier in the season when Carolina lost the back-to-back games, the neutral site games, to Tennessee and Purdue. We saw this. They're ready after 11 games. Because remember, Wes Miller also started this season well at Cincinnati. So there's going to be a little bit of a shiny object over there, a point of comparison. They lost to Kentucky, and the fans were down. I thought the wins over Virginia in particular, the win over Virginia, was a good one. Back at home, they hadn't beat Virginia in a brick. Finally get them. All that's gone now. After last night's 85-57 loss to Miami. Brian Ives, who does great work for ESPN ACC Network, tweeted this at halftime yesterday. North Carolina's 27-point halftime deficit matches its largest over the last 25 seasons. The Tar Heels also trailed by 27 at Duke in 2010, the last North Carolina team to not make the NCAA tournament. Brian getting a little cheeky there with that stat, but the point remains, they were down big. And when you're on the Twitters, I don't know if you know this, Rand, but on the Twitters, you don't always have the most rational people.
What?
I know. I know.
Where? Not the Twitter that I use.
It's hard to kind of process this. But one of the replies to that halftime tweet was from Rob Mason, 05. Heels win the championship that year, by the way. I'm afraid this needs to improve quickly. Next year, maybe do or die. Seems grave. Also, Horace Wang Manger. Fire them all in all caps. There's been 17 games into his career. I'm not saying yesterday was good. Yesterday was bad. It was. And the only reason Carolina fans are the angriest is because NC State fans are apathetic at this point. Apathetic.
Yeah.
I'm not predicting a very full PNC Arena tonight.
Mm-mm. Now Reynolds tomorrow night?
Now Reynolds for the women. Mm-hmm. Louisville, top five matchup with Louisville, who's become a bit of their rival here in women's basketball at the tiny arena or small gym, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But tonight, Virginia Tech in a run it back game?
Yeah.
But Carolina fans are angry. And after last night, they should be. They should be. That was tough.
Yeah. It was pretty unbelievable, honestly.
No, it was. And Wardenburg, 5 threes.
Averages under 8 points a game. Drops 21. What did he hit? 21?
He did hit 4 threes against Clemson in their ACC opener. Since then, he has combined for two threes until last night. So, I get it, but that was strictly... I'd rather be Carolina where I know what the problem is, though, right? They don't play defense. When they get themselves in these situations against the better teams on their schedule, they're not defending at a level that's going to allow them to win the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And they're still probably, like you said, they need to win Saturday, but they're still probably an NCAA tournament team.
There's still a clear path for them.
Yeah.
But you have to put some of those wins in the bucket. That's where they are right now. They don't have, because Michigan was their best win and still is their best win. Do you know what Michigan's record is?
Mm-mm.
Michigan's 8-7.
Yikes.
That
was a really good win at the time.
It's still their best win.
Wow.
But Michigan's 2-3 in the Big Ten. Michigan doesn't have it. Michigan's not a tournament team.
Mm-mm.
When you look at what they've done outside the Big Ten and then what they've done inside the Big Ten, their best win's over San Diego State. that's not going to get you home.
And you're right. They had their chances. Purdue, Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're going to win all of them. I'm not saying you're going to win all of them. Now, the problem is they weren't competitive in those games.
This is very NC State-ish.
Yes.
This is weird.
Yes. And it's January 19th. Saturday, they go to Wake. That's a Q1 game. Need it. It's a must-win game. Looking down the rest of their schedule, they go to Virginia Tech in February. Going to need that one. They don't get Syracuse on the road. Not that Syracuse is a Q1 at this point. And then they have the two games against Duke. That's the problem. And Florida State. Florida State's at home. Florida State, I'll have to check the net rankings, but the chances are there. That's the good news. You know what the problem is. That's the good news. It might also be the bad news, though, because if they didn't get the point earlier in the season after lethargic efforts, it's hard to argue that they're going to get the message now, particularly in a game on Saturday on the road. That's a tough spot to be in, yeah. But we'll see. My point about Hubert Davis is, let us not cast judgment on who he is after 17 games. I'll repeat for Carolina fans. You have been spoiled. And I understand you have a different standard. They do. That's why they're angry, because they're used to a Hall of Fame coach. Not just Roy Williams, but Dean Smith, Bill Guthridge. So basically, they've had 3 years of Matt Daugherty. Right?
Oh, no.
Since 19, what was Dean's first year? 62? So
must be tough,
guys. That's your standard. I get your standard. It was going to be tough for Hubert under any circumstances. These circumstances in particular, and the way that they're losing, it's a problem after last night. But like I said, it's 17 games. Let's see if he can fix the problem, because it is a fixable problem. It should have been fixed already, but let's see if he can fix the problem.
I like
it. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair. That's a rational take.
We played K in the previous segment. Let's hear from Hubert last night, because it's not like he doesn't understand the problem. It's not like I'm not breaking any news to him right now.
No.
At times throughout the year, I feel like there has been a change in mentality and effort and in toughness. And then we have a game like this, and just very disappointed in our fight, competitiveness, our effort, just very disappointed.
Yeah, effort, fight, these aren't things you want to talk about in January. But again, at least you know the problem, and it can be corrected. Next one, Ren.
So next up from up, Mikey Joe. May. Hey, Joe, is it better to have your dream job and have gotten fired, or not have your dream job at all?
Back when I worked at the News and Observer and I had to write about the NFL draft, I refused to use anything from Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper is a fraud. And would work with agents to pump up certain players in order for those players to get drafted. Hello, Jimmy Clausen. The person I always trusted was Mike Mayock at the NFL Network. Loved Mike Mayock. Always had time. Was always very thorough. Did his homework. You got to figure Mike Mayock's dream job was to become a general manager in the NFL. Because he could have worked for, and he probably will go back to the NFL Network, but he could have worked for the NFL Network just like Kiper, done draft stuff, made it his whole life, didn't have to leave it. He takes the Raiders job in 19. I'm going to give you some draft picks from 19 for Mike Mayock. Cleveland Farrell with the fourth pick in the 2019 draft, which was a reach. Was a very good player at Clemson, was great considered player. A first-round pick, but not the number four pick. Going to give you two names who he didn't take who were available at number four. Devin White, the outstanding linebacker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Frontline, all-pro type player.
Yeah.
Okay? Fine. You don't want to take a linebacker that high. Get it. Josh Allen.
Oh.
Ouch.
Whoops.
Hey, that Derek Carr, you say. Okay. Fair. Fair. The problem with reaching is when you reach and you're wrong, it does make it seem like, well, we're smarter than everybody else. Sometimes you're not. Mm-hmm. Let's continue on this draft. Josh Jacobs, 24. Nothing wrong with that. Solid. Took a running back. Good player. Jonathan Abraham, safety at 27. They had 3 first-round picks that year. Missed on 2. Yeah. Made up for it. Took Max Crosby, outstanding defensive end in the 4th round.
Absolutely.
Took Hunter Renfro, receiver from Clemson, 5th round.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying, all right, 30%, 33% of the first-round draft picks, not good in your first draft. Survivable. I like Mike Mayock. I don't want to do this to him.
It hurts you. I can see it.
The 2020 draft, 12th pick. Even with our hindsight, with the legal issues, Henry Ruggs.
Oh, yeah.
Passes on CeeDee Lamb, passes on Jerry Jeudy, passes on Justin Jefferson. Oh. Mm-hmm. Takes Damon Arnett, the corner, 19. Could have had Patrick Queen. If you wanted a corner, you could have taken Trayvon Diggs.
Oh, wow.
Again, when you go off the board or stray and you risk, you have to hit. Didn't make up for it in that 2020 draft. And now in 21, finally he learns his lesson, right?
You would hope. You would hope. I mean, gosh. Oof. Those are some big misses, though.
21 has the number 17 pick. Mm-hmm. What's the safest possible thing to do with the number 17 pick? Take an offensive lineman,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
What's the safest possible school to draft a lineman from? Alabama.
Yeah.
Alex Leatherwood, I believe, led the NFL in penalties this year.
Oh, he did.
He was bad.
I think he had a couple in the playoff game.
He did. He was bad. If he didn't lead him, he was one of the leading guys in penalties this year. So Mike Mayock, gone from the Raiders. So the question is, was it better to have your dream job and gotten fired or not have your dream job at all? What do you say, Rand?
Oh, I would have rather had it. Absolutely.
And failed spectacularly.
Well, at least you know.
Okay.
And failure is the aspect thing, right? Like, he technically did fail if you want to look at it that way.
Let me just give you a hypothetical. Yeah. If David Tepper called right now and had been listening to this program for the last month or whatever, year.
He's a big fan of the show.
And said, Jillio, man, you really seem to know a lot about what Matt Rhule's doing wrong. I'm going to give you a job, and I'm going to let you fix the Panthers.
Yeah.
I don't think I would take it.
What?
I don't think I would.
For the paycheck, absolutely.
There is that.
Yes.
There is that.
Yes.
And actually, the best job to have is the fired front office or fired coach, because then you're still getting paid. So you're right. It is better to have gotten the dream job and failed than not gotten it at all.
Getting paid to, like, hey, don't coach anywhere else, okay? We'll pay you this much if you don't. Oh.
Just have a seat.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think I can do that. Poor Mike Mayock, though, but you're right. He'll land on his feet.
He'll be back at the NFL Network in a minute because, like I said, he was the best. This is back when you had to like download the app or go to NFL Network .com. It wasn't on any cable system. Yes, I'm old.
Man, but it's hard. The draft is hard.
No, it is.
Yeah.
But yeah. What is next, sir?
Next up, our guy from Buddy Ryan.
Oh, from the beyond.
Uh-huh. Hey, Joe, does ESPN drug test Rex Ryan?
So, the Cincinnati Bengals won a playoff game for the first time since the 1990 season, since 1991. Joe Burrow was outstanding in their win. He's been outstanding this season, his first full, healthy NFL season. Don't deny any of those things.
Yeah.
If you put a gun to my head and told me I'm the Panthers GM and said I could start my franchise with any quarterback right now, he's certainly on the first 3 names that I'm writing down.
Yeah.
Okay? But can we just slow down a smidge after beating the carcass of the Raiders and all of those bad first-round draft picks that I just mentioned and saying the things that Rex Ryan is now saying about Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I'm going to say this. It is about one man. It's about the quarterback. And this is, to me, that you want to see the next Tom Brady? You're looking at him right here. Look at him. Now, the only thing, he's wearing those glasses. I don't think Tom would have worn those. But no, this is Joe Buell.
And
anybody, you know what? It's not too big for him. The Bengals haven't been there. This kid has. He won a national championship, won the Heisman Trophy, a great draft pick from them for a local kid. He could care less who he plays. And to me, that's Tom Brady. I've seen it for years. And get ready, guys. You're going to see it for the next 10, 15 years.
Matt, what, if anything?
All right, I'm being too literal here. But it's hard for me to have someone compared to Tom Brady because Tom Brady's won 7 Super Bowl titles.
Yeah.
No one else is going to win. I'm safely going out on a limb here. There's no one else is ever going to win 7 Super Bowl titles.
Are you sure you want to say that?
I'm positive. I'm positive. So, is he really the next Tom Brady? Not in that sense.
No.
He was pick 1-1. Tom Brady was 199. Like, Tom Brady didn't start his first year. Joe Burrow started from the jump. Then he got hurt. Yes, they both had major knee injuries. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it.
No, I don't know.
Do you know who the quarterback, and this is Will Brinson, CBS Sports, has all season compared Burrow to Brett Favre? That's the comparison.
I like that.
That's the comparison.
Yeah.
A lot of confidence.
A lot of confidence.
Not that Brady doesn't now, but we misremember what Brady was in 01 when he won his first Super Bowl and really the next 2 years. That was Bill Belichick. That was Rodney Harrison. That was Teddy Bruschi. That was Vince Wilfork. That was their defense. And it was, hey, Tom, don't screw up.
Mm-hmm. A la Joe Flacco and the Ravens.
Well, Flacco was on a heater for one playoff run. What Mac Jones did this year. Just don't screw up.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow has been the man from the jump. So, I don't know. I don't see 7 Super Bowls in anyone's future. But Rex Ryan, clearly impressed. This is also my way of saying I would take the Titans.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Absolutely.
Everyone and their mother is loving on the Bengals and Burrow.
I love the Bengals too, and they're
great story.
They're fun. They're
yeah.
But now especially with this, I'm like, no, Titans all the way by over 10 points.
And Derrick Henry's supposed to play.
Yeah.
Not that we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Last up, we'll get one more in here before the break. From Standard is the Standard. Hey Joe. What are the chances that Matt Canada will be the Steelers' offensive coordinator next season?
Oh, that's interesting. That's a Mike Tomlin quote. I wonder if that's Mike Tomlin's burner account. I
think it is. We're not supposed to say it out loud, though.
Okay.
I'll cut that out.
Well, clearly he did not check with me before he made Matt Canada as offensive coordinator. I could have saved him some heartache this season, from frustration. The odds are 0.0 that he will be their offensive coordinator next year. Wholesale changes coming to Pittsburgh. We don't have time for it right now. We'll get to it later in the show. I loved Tomlin's quote yesterday about, well, we have some global issues that we need to address.
What?
Yeah. I feel like Tomlin has just been, we had the whole Antonio Brown thing. We've learned finally, like, this guy has really been something else. And then, of course, not having the losing season. I think people are finally coming around to respecting Mike Tomlin.